Hey everybody, welcome to episode 18 of It's No Secret Live. We are your hosts, Teresa Shars and Bianca Rose. Say hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 18. We're legal now.
We're legal.
We are officially 18. Woohoo!
Packing up, I'm leaving.
I'm packing up, I'm leaving. I'm moving out, motherfuckers. I'm moving out. Oh man. But yes, it's good to have you back, Shari. You were MIA last week.
I know. Left us high and dry, talking to ourselves.
I know, right? Would you like to explain yourself?
Sure. So obviously I was on spring break. And I just really made the spring break about the baby. So we did like a lot of activities last week, and it just so happened that I had bought tickets to a Giants game that day. So I was in San Francisco, and I thought about going like live from the city and all that, but it was a lot going on. And then my sister's high school, their band performed at the Chase Center, which is where the Warriors play. So, and she's a flag girl, so we went out and supported her and did the Warriors game. So it was just a lot going on that day. It was all about sports.
You could have filmed it live. Next time, take us with you.
I know, seriously.
Yeah. I know, but I was like, I don't know how well the connection's going to be downtown. Like, if you know anything
about
the buildings, it was packed down there. I was like, I don't want to risk it. And they'd be like, on the show. So, yeah, we just left.
Well, we did miss you.
Nice to you.
Real quick, shout out to Jaded Countessa again, who filled in, aka Nikita.
Back in the comments if you miss her already.
I know, right? She's back in the comments. You know, she's over here cheering us on. Episode 18 legal. All right. Well, as you guys know, if you guys watch our shows ever, we always start with our highs and lows. So if you are watching us live already, first of all, thank you. But if you're watching us live on Instagram, YouTube, or our Facebook page, make sure you guys share your highs and lows with us in the chat as well so we can share them with the world. It looks like it's my turn.
Yeah, you go first,
T. I go first today. So we're going to start with our lows. And this is getting a little deep, I guess. But my low was that on Saturday, I believe, and my husband believes, that I experienced my first anxiety attack.
Oh.
So I was like super overwhelmed that day for some reason, just with my thoughts and my mental to-do lists. And, you know, just because I'm the type of person, like, I can't turn it off. Even like at night when I'm sleeping, I feel like I'm dreaming about the shit I got to do. Mm-hmm. And then there was just so much to do around the house, and everywhere I looked, there was just something to do. And it just, all of a sudden, I couldn't fucking breathe. And I was just freaking the fuck out because I had never experienced that before. So for those of you guys who experience something like that on a regular basis, God, I commend you, because that was not fun. But yes, that was definitely my low for the week.
Aww.
I know. Have you guys ever experienced an anxiety attack?
I mean, I stay medicated, yes.
Okay. I mean, it's good to not be alone. So that's nice, but like, that was scary.
Yeah. And even like sometimes with guys, whenever they have anxiety attack, they confuse it with a heart attack because to them it's similar symptoms. So
that's scary. Yeah. I definitely didn't think I was having a heart attack. I thought that when my gallbladder started acting up. But yeah, not from the anxiety attack.
What helped calm you down?
My husband. He was actually at work when it happened. And so I was texting him when I started to feel a little off. And so when I started getting worse, I was like, can I call you? And he FaceTimed me immediately and just kind of talked me off the ledge, like just helped me breathe kind of through it.
It's kind of weird how you can sometimes feel it coming on. Like it's that buildup, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know there are sometimes when I have, when I feel, I'm able to feel when my anxiety, when it's going to, you know, be pretty bad. And there was like one time where I texted my sister on the way home. I'm like, it's happened. Like something's happening. I don't feel okay. This and that.
Yeah.
Bless my sister's heart. By the time I got home, she had made up my bed, put pajamas laid out, and I released. I just crying. I had to like sit on the floor in order for me to like feel grounded type of thing. So having anxiety attacks is not fun at all. And sometimes it can last, you know, a couple minutes to a couple hours. Mm-hmm. So
I was bawling my eyes out in my bed with his face like right here, just getting me to calm down. Getting me to calm down. So shout out to my husband. Real quick, Team Heartthrob on our Instagram said, I get like that with my heart issue. It's an ugly feeling. It is. Yeah. It's like, and I have control issues. So feeling like I'm not in control of my own body is terrifying to me. Mm-hmm. So again, to those of you who experience it on a regular basis, I commend you because, man.
Yeah, I think April is Mental Health Awareness Month, if I'm not mistaken, too.
I think so, too.
Definitely shout out. You're definitely not alone, T. We're here.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Shari, what was your low of the week?
My low of the week was I had to return back to normal life after 9 days of total bliss. So yeah, just having to go back to work on Monday, I was really like contemplating my whole life. Do I really need this job? Do I really want to go back to this place? The like
struggle.
Can me and the kids live in the car and really survive? Like, you know, those type of questions were going through my mind Monday morning, but yeah. So
that's you question your life choices sometimes when you're on your way to work.
Definitely. It was even before I got out of bed. I was like, do I really, really need this job? Like I'm just
Or maybe just what difference would one more day do?
Right.
Yeah, unfortunately, they always sucker us and they do blackout dates before and after vacation. So I was like, damn, I gotta go.
No, just kidding.
They don't care. You still get written up.
Yeah. No, for real. Blackout dates are no joke.
Yeah.
What about you, B? What was your low?
I had to think about it, but then I realized, so I was listening to an audiobook on Spotify and it was a spicy book.
Hey.
And what I learned is that Spotify caps you at audio listening hours after a certain time. So it was like one of those moments, those anticipation moments. It was in action.
No.
And I felt like my toy died basically right before, like it was just
right before you climbed, like,
cut off, and it's like you ended your listening hours. Like I'm like, I needed that right now.
That's wild.
It was terrible timing. So now I have to wait and like a few more, like a month or so, for the hours to renew to pick back up. I'm like, now I got to start the feeling all over again, the anticipation. It was just, it caught me off guard at the worst time.
So. This is why you buy the book, Bianca. No, I'm just kidding.
You don't get the same when you have the right people.
The right people.
Talking in your ear the way that they do. Saying the sweet, sweet words that I don't hear very often.
Oh, shit. Jada Contessa said, your vibrator died.
It felt like it did.
Oh yeah, I could see that. That does suck. That is a low. Yeah, that is a low.
Definitely.
Real quick on our Instagram, Vicky Marie said, watching y'all with a glass of wine because today was not it. Not it in all caps.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, today, fucking today. Like it was one of them just days. I was like, I wish I had some liquor.
We got some. You want some?
I thought I had some. I was going to pour me a glass of wine now.
I have some, but I was like, tequila, I don't want to nat hard. Like,
just
I
take just one shot.
You know, some. Like
you never stop with one.
Right. So I was like, no, I still got to get up and be an adult tomorrow. So I get better. And we know after 30, a hangover is no fun. Mm-mm. So
for me, it was like 35-ish.
I had my first blackout. It was either 31 or 32. And so ever since then, it's just been no fun.
Dang. Yeah. It's the first
time. First and only, I'll say that. First and but that was a weird place to wake up to.
I went through a few birthdays not remembering what I did. So, yeah.
Yes.
I will say I'm a great drunk, though. People don't notice all the time that I'm blacked out. Anyway, let's move on to our highs, guys. All right. So for me, my high for the week was actually on Monday. I took the day off. It was my husband's birthday.
Happy birthday, honey. Happy belated, Gabe.
You know, he turned 21 again. No, I'm just kidding.
21 and 15, 21 and
21 again. But we had such a great day. Like, we let the baby go to daycare. And we had no kids, and we just really like just hung out, like went out to the mall and walked around. We had breakfast with, you know, food. Okay. Food. We ate twice throughout the day and, you know, just spent the whole day together. And both of us are still like till this day relishing it. Like, oh my God, it was like when we first met and we didn't have the kids around. Man, that was nice. We need to do this again.
Wait for the birthday? Do it again.
Yeah. I'm like, we have to make a point to do it more often. So we're going to try to. We'll see how it goes. Shari, what was your high?
My high for this week. What did I do over the weekend?
She's like, what did I do?
Not during the week. What did I do over the weekend? Okay. That was my high. I was a little upsetting, but that was my high. So I have, you know, been on social media, and I don't know if anybody watches the show Baddies, but I have been like highly, highly anticipating this reunion show, because if y'all have watched any of the clips, then you understand why I was waiting. So that happened on Sunday, and it was part one. I was really... like, I was like, 12 o'clock is
on. Damn, you're addicted to that show.
Like, and no, it was more so just this reunion show. Because, like, if you watched all the clips from the week, because, you know, they skip a week, so you're without it. And then it's like, and then, you know, all the clips start showing. And I'm like, holy shit, that's happening. So it was like, I need to, like, I need to watch it. I woke up Sunday morning, ran to the living room, and I was like, is it on yet? Can we watch it? Is it 5 o'clock yet? I just need to play. So totally was excited to watch that. That was definitely my high this week, because they were bringing the drama, and I like other people's drama. I don't like to have any of my own.
Amen.
So that worked.
Amen.
Yes.
What about you, Bianca? What was your high?
My high is that I went, on Saturday, I went to this place called Howl at the Moon. Here in San Antonio, I don't know if it's anywhere else, but it was a bar with a live band that plays songs that are requested by the audience. So it could be any genre. So basically the crowd picks the music.
It's still a piano bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it was fun. I liked it.
I love Howl at the Moon.
I like the fact that I'm not brave enough for karaoke. I am confident enough to try to match your volume if you're on stage. Nice. So is everybody else. So is that sense of community. Mm-hmm. I was screaming my lungs out to like any and all lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. I'd do that again.
Yes, I've been to Howl at the Moon a few times here in San Antonio, and it's a great piano bar.
Won a drawing where I can host a party there. So I was asking people at work today, I'm like, just by chance, anyone wants to go? I have two friends maybe, so I'm trying to like get together a group to be like, is this considered team building?
Yes.
We can do this. Yeah.
I'm like, yes. Yes, let's do
that. That was my high.
That's a good high. That's a good high. Get out. Do things. Definitely. All right. Well, before we get into our topic of the show, I saw something on the internet, on Instagram to be specific, that got posted by Hollywood Unlocked. And I sent it to both of these lovely ladies because I really wanted to talk about it today. And what they posted was the male R&B Mount Rushmore, okay? So the four faces of male R&B. And I really, really want to get your guys' opinions, both on the photo itself and then who they selected. Everyone in the chat, please share your thoughts because I'm doing this for you guys, okay? All right, so here is Hollywood Unlocked's male R&B Mount Rushmore. So they created, or someone created, and they posted it here, the male R&B Mount Rushmore. So looking at those pictures, if you cannot tell who these people are, going from left to right, we have Chris Brown, Michael Jackson, Usher, and R. Kelly. So, thoughts?
Why they do my boy Chris like that? That was my first thought.
I couldn't make out who that was. Like, the fact that I had to ask who that was.
I had to check the comments.
No, no, I knew who it was, who they were trying to make it. But I ran straight to the comments because I'm totally here for the fuckery of the comment section. And everybody was like, is that Bobby Valentino? And I'm dying laughing. They were like, Floyd Mayweather? I didn't know he saw. I was like, bro, it was just like hella comments. I was dying laughing. I was like,
well, I'm glad you knew who it was, because I went to the comments because I didn't know who it was.
I mean, come on. Okay, and in my opinion, he should definitely be up there. So I'm like, that had to be my boy, right? Because who else?
I couldn't figure it out.
Would be up there. But yeah, that was just a hot mess. Yeah, they did him so wrong.
Real quick, Jada Countessa in our comments said, not R. Kelly. That was the first thing I thought when I saw this. I was like, please take that fucking rapist off the picture, please. Please.
I'm not going to say I totally agree. Yes, as a person, he is a shitty individual, but his contribution to the music world is undeniable. I'm just going to say that. It is. I think they could have put some other people
R. Kelly had some amazing baby-making music.
But he's a writer. He's a producer. He's done a lot of shit for even other people. But I still feel like if we're talking about R&B as a whole, I think we could have replaced some people.
Quickly on Instagram, Team Heartthrob said Michael Jackson was more pop. So he kind of disagreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
I don't think he should have been on there. And they should have picked a different Michael, because you know he's had like four faces. But that's another story too.
Well, you know, if you would have picked the 1980s Michael, that would have been probably a better Mount Rushmore. Because I see this one and I'm like, well, that's pop. That's pop Michael.
Yes, that's definitely pop Michael. I'm like, the older that's one would have been more R&B.
And then y'all think they put Usher in the back for a reason?
He's kind of hidden like this.
Yeah. Yeah, like, what? Right in the forefront.
R. Kelly trying to hide in the back.
Yes. It should have been. Oh, God. That would have been perfect if they put R. Kelly hiding in the back.
Little peep and talk.
Oh, man. So
I was going to say, before, just to play around a little bit, before we got on live, I was on internet just scrolling, and because everybody talked so much shit about R. Kelly being on there, they took him off, they moved some people down, and then where Michael is, they put Neo.
Oh, I love Neo, but Mount Rushmore?
No. Not here for it either. So yeah.
I do too.
I do too.
All right.
But he's not of that. But I mean, were the presidents that were on Mount Rushmore? No.
Can you name the people who are on Mount Rushmore? Because I cannot. No.
Don't know. Don't care. Team Heartthrob said Brian McKnight. And he said that Chris Brown was an entertainer. No.
Brian McKnight. Is that the one back at one?
You like the dream come true. Yes.
No. Brian McKnight ruined his career for me with the pussy song. That was the end of his career for me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go find it, because he ended his career with me. I can't listen to nothing Brian McKnight after that happened.
Okay, so we talked about some people needed to be replaced, but who would they get replaced with?
Genuine. Okay, fine. I'll tell you about it. I'll go fuck myself.
Honestly, if Genuine wasn't doing all the stupid shit he's doing now and embarrassing himself, I think he'd be up there.
R. Kelly can be up there.
No, I mean, like, all the have you seen the videos Genuine performing
these apparently days? The standards are low already, so yes. We can only go up from here.
Low
so listen to some of his kids.
Okay, so who else would be on there? Do you guys think Prince was more pop than R&B?
Yeah. There's a lot of people that straddle that fence. That's
well,
the
when
hard-
you make it to a certain level, you kind of turn pop because everybody listens to you now.
I think, I mean, we've got some... I mean, I guess it's kind of hard because you think about like a lot of the R&B music were like groups Boyz II Men, Jodeci, like so we're just talking about solo people. I mean,
that's hard.
I don't know. I might even throw some Trey because baby,
you know, Shari, that I love Trey or used to love Trey more than a lot of people I know. And I would not put him on the mountain anymore.
I honestly say I would put Trey over
Usher. Oh, no, I would not. I would keep Usher. Baby.
I think
that's Usher.
I think Usher's best album he ever had was Confessions. And his outside of that, I could never listen to
amazing. I'm like, his first album was fucking amazing.
Maybe I don't listen to R&B as much as I thought.
You listen to every album from beginning to end? See, I'm not that big of a fan.
Usher. I just don't know who else I'd put up there without the like boy groups. Like they were R&B.
Right. That's what I feel like.
But you're also trying to think back to the boy band era. Are there any artists today that qualify as R&B that you would pick? Because all I'm telling you is like Bruno Mars, The Weeknd, like
and I'm even going back. I'm like, Luther.
Oh, I think Luther.
He deserves his flowers. Like, come on. Like, we gotta. Yeah, it was a lot more people that could have.
I do, not gonna lie. My ears perked up when Bianca said Bruno Mars. I love Bruno Mars for one main reason alone. I feel like he has kept R&B alive for men because these new aren't. Meh. Okay, that's how I feel about the new artists out. God, I'm old. Fuck.
Yeah, I'm like.
Definitely.
I can't rebuttal whoever y'all talk about because.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like even I'm like literally browsing like R&B because I'm like I don't know why I'm having a block here, but like I'm like just single because again it's a.
Can
lot
we put
of,
like members of the boy bands in there? I'm just kidding.
Right. I'm coming across like Tyrese, Keith Sweat, John Legend, Tevin Campbell
could sing his ass off.
I don't know.
He doesn't get enough credit for the notes he used to hit.
No, he doesn't. He can definitely sing his ass off. But you know who I believe that can sing their ass off and don't get enough credit either?
Jamie Foxx. That man can sing.
Can sing, okay? So, yeah, I don't know. I really think the people who hold the heart to male R&B are
agreed.
Groups. So I feel like Mount Rushmore should not exist for them. I'm
now,
sorry.
Female artist?
That's even more hard.
That's even tougher. And there are some great solo female artists in R&B. But I think that would even be a harder one because... You need more room. Four people is definitely not enough.
No. Jada Countessa is in the chat, let me tell you. Okay. for those of you guys watching live, I have been popping her comments up here over in on our screen for everybody as we're talking. But yes, that Mount Rushmore needed a little work, both on the image itself and on the selection.
I just want to say I really hope Chris Brown says something because he's forever going to put a story up about some shit. Yeah. I need him a comment.
Somebody tag Chris Brown. Team Heartthrob said R. Kelly, Usher, Bruno Mars, and Babyface.
Yeah, see.
Oh, I forgot about Babyface. What about D'Angelo?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a lot more people. Like, we wouldn't think, they didn't think back. And, like, again, we could do eras.
Oh, see, that would be easier if we did Mount Rushmore's based on eras.
Yeah. That I don't think, I think it's really hard to just say, like, oh, yeah, overall.
So you're saying, like, define the R&B artists of the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do I need Gates or something? Because, yeah, that was a little hard to just be, like, overall.
Well, I stick with Bruno Mars because that's as far as I can go back. And I'll second Usher. I don't know.
D'Angelo was kind of a one-hit wonder. It's just a lot of people like to look at him. He was fun to look at. And he was like, come on. He came out in a video butt ass naked. Like, what's not, what else can you do to get attention? Like,
send that to me.
He definitely captured the attention.
Oh. I don't know who that is.
Oh my God. Okay. After hours are going to be great today.
Yeah.
Guys, for the people who are listening and watching, I'm still trying to figure out when and how to record the aftermath of this podcast, because that's also funny. We're going to put up a little Patreon so you can see the behind the scenes and hang out with us there.
Oh, man.
She's, I don't even know who that is. I am done. You just showed your age.
In the 90s.
I was really quiet this conversation. If y'all wanted me to shut up, just tell me.
Oh man, don't look it up, bonkers. He said Dark Throb said it in Instagram. Oh man, that's ungrateful there for sure. He's like, don't show that to my niece. Unk wanted to look like him. I'm sure a lot of people did
from the way that everyone's talking about it.
Oh yeah. All right, well, moving on to our topic for today. Ironically, when we started the episode and we're talking about we're legal, Shari was like, I'm moving out, because we're going to talk about moving today. Since we're illegal, we're going to talk about moving today. Not just because of that, but Bianca's going to move out of her place to a new one soon. She's going to go live on her own and take on this new adventure. I know. Look, she looks nervous.
I am nervous. That's probably why my eyes have been twitching. My acid reflex is acting up. Like, losing sleep.
All good things. Anxiety. Yes, all good things.
Roof, man.
So, on the topic of moving, what are some reasons that you guys have moved in the past?
I was young and knew everything, so I thought.
Good point.
I've moved cities to go to college.
Oh, see, that makes sense.
It was scary. I lasted 1 year and I came back. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Me, I lived all over the Bay Area, mainly because of pricing and roommates and stuff and areas that I lived in. And then, of course, I moved from California to Texas, and that was for a promotion at work. But it was a move that I had been wanting to make for a while. So the promotion just made it easier. Yeah. What about you, Char? What are some reasons that you've moved?
Don't like the location, different cities, better commute for work, just different things like that.
It's crazy how all these factors play into why you move, right? I mean, I've had, like I said, a lot of roommates in the past, but thank God it was never for that reason that I was moving, because that makes things a little bit difficult. Oh, real quick, Team Heartthrob in the chat said, proud of everything she has done in her life. Congratulations, Mija, on your move. Aww. Thanks, Unk. No, I'm just kidding. What would you guys say was your biggest move, or like your most memorable move, and why was it memorable?
Mine was the move when I was about 19. I was somewhere around there, somewhere 19. We moved out of San Francisco. We moved to Vallejo. And for me, it was just the most memorable because I had grew up in San Francisco my whole life, born and raised there. And so it was definitely different to be in a different place where the weather was totally different. You know, people were different. I mean, it was kind of during a time where every city in the Bay, if you even consider that the Bay, but like where everybody kind of wanted to be hip. So you still like had that little vibe that the Bay Area gives you, but it was still just a totally different scene, like not having to do fight city traffic and stuff like that. So it was definitely different. And then, like I said, it was the first move I had made ever.
That's a big move for your first move. Yeah. What about you, B? What's your most memorable move and why?
Mine would be my first move, which would be from San Antonio to Corpus, and that was for school.
Oh.
I had chosen Corpus because growing up, my family would spend like every summer, like they would go, you know, to Port Aransas constantly. So I'm like, you know what? I'm picking a place where my family would still go to, so I'd still see them.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they stop fucking traveling. I was like, y'all hold me. Just say that. It was such a struggle for a transition because I was like, yeah, we go every other weekend. We go like, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a year. This is awesome. You know what? So I'm still going to see my family. Nope. In fact, I got homesick pretty easily to where I would catch Greyhound buses back to San Antonio, be like, hey guys, it's me.
Aww.
And finally, one of my cousins, her husband was like, yo, you know, we can't really miss you when you're not gone long enough. I'm like,
they got a point. Yeah, they got a point. Yeah. It's a good distance though, because it's like far enough to have like separation, but close enough that you can still visit.
I definitely had separation anxiety. It was memorable because it was a big decision and I'm glad I did it. But I was still like, I think I was 19. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was 19 and I moved and it was struggling because I wasn't in a good headspace mentally either. To be on my own. So I was still very reliant. So it wasn't as successful as I wanted it to be. So I came back and then we're just going to be trying all these different moving techniques, all these different scenarios.
Yeah.
All my 20s, all I've done is moved. I've learned to basically move, I've learned to basically live out of a suitcase, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with moving and I'm not even a military brat. I just have not found that forever home.
Yeah, it takes time though. It takes time. I still haven't found mine either, so don't feel bad. It's ironic because all three of us said we moved for the first time when we were 19. My first move was when I was 19. I was pregnant with my son and I moved across the street. I moved across the street from my parents' house. Legit. That was not going to be my most memorable one, though. My most memorable one is definitely when I came to Texas. Because, first of all, it was the easiest move. Thank you to my former employer, because they paid for everything. So it made everything super easy. I wasn't even allowed to pack my own shit for insurance purposes. Everything was super easy. But it was like... Like to Shari's point with her moving just to another city in the Bay Area, when you move to another state, when I say the culture shock is real, it is real. And when you live in a big city like San Francisco and you move to a place like San Antonio is a big ass city territory wise. It's very large. It's very spread out. It's like one of the top 5 largest cities in the world. But when it comes to population and feel, it doesn't feel like a big city. It feels like a big town, if that makes sense. So it was a complete culture shock. Like literally going to sleep the first couple days, I was like, I can't hear any sirens.
Oh, so you lived on the good side of town then.
Well, I lived in San Francisco. What is the good side of town? I'm just kidding. Like, it's just something going on everywhere. And there used to be high-speed chases down my street all the time because it was the street right next to, like, a main street. So, yeah. I was like, it's so quiet here. I can hear crickets. What the fuck is that sound? When I first heard cicadas, look, Shari's still traumatized from listening to cicadas.
This is why I won't move to Texas. I'm No, absolutely.
Home of the tortas. Mm. No, he did it.
I'm so San Antonio, home of the tortas.
Yeah. No, like when I first heard cicadas, I literally asked my cousin. I called her and was like, there's this noise. What is it? Because we lived in the same apartment complex. And I was like, what the fuck is that noise? Like, something is in the trees, guys. But that was my most memorable.
Nope.
But there's so much chaos, like, leading to the move. That's why I like that one, because there wasn't as much chaos. I was like, oh, I'm just taking that stuff. I just supervised. But every other move, and I've moved a lot, was so fucking chaotic, like leading up to it. What do you guys think is like the most stressful part about preparing to move?
I feel like no matter how much you prepare, you're never prepared.
Oh, that's so true.
My problem is that I don't prepare enough. Like I'm moving soon. Can you tell? In fact, I've brought more things into this office.
Have you? Or more plants, for sure. All these plants
have not been here since we started the podcast.
Come on, more plants, for sure.
This whole room has filled more since the podcast started, knowing I'm going to leave.
Right.
So all of this I got to move. But I feel like I'm doing the exact opposite, because I don't think it's set in that I am moving or that I have to move. It's so I'm nesting, or I'm being territorial, I guess. I don't know what this is.
I don't know what it is, but I am not prepared.
I don't know if I'm trying to fight to keep this area, or I really don't know. But I just started buying more and more plants and started putting up pictures. I've been in this house for a year, and these pictures just went up last weekend.
Bianca, you're about to leave.
What are you doing?
I'm doing the exact opposite of what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yes. Real quick, Gibby, Dr. X said, we got sirens. Move to the west or the east side. I guess I'm just not in the right area.
I grew up in the east side. I live in the far west side. My dog is afraid of fireworks, thunderstorms, gunshots, and she knows the difference between all of them. So if she runs, I'm running. That's my rule.
Man, to me, like, in all of the moves that I've done, two of my moves, I was pregnant. So I was not allowed to do anything. And that was probably
just found a really expensive life hack.
Yeah. Have a kid.
Have a kid.
Oh, I should. No, please don't.
Do this. Have everyone else do it.
Oh, please don't do that. No, like, that was probably one of the most frustrating things for me, as far as the chaos leading to a move, was when I was pregnant and I couldn't do anything. So that was hard for me. And then this last move, when we moved from Austin to San Antonio, my husband's brother was supposed to come and help us move so that we wouldn't hire movers. And at the last second, he decides to call my husband and tell him, oh, instead of me coming to help you, I'm gonna hire the movers for you guys. And if you know my husband's stubborn. And he was like, no, we don't need movers. I'm going to do this by myself. And he did, because I was pregnant. He did the entire move by himself. We were on the second floor of the apartment complex that we moved from. So he literally, by himself, large objects and all, moved us to San Antonio. I told him I would never let him do that again.
I've met Gabe. He's like a statue.
Yes.
He's fucking huge.
He is.
Tall and big and, like.
Yes, he is.
Very capable. So.
Yes, he is.
If this was like a scrawny man, or like someone with like conditions that I may need to, that are a liability, maybe I'd worry a little bit. I have all the confidence that Gabe could help me move.
He could. Yeah. He could. Second. Babe, if you're watching. Bianca's trying to tell you something.
I'm trying to butter you up.
This in.
But I just felt bad, because he was like determined to try to get the truck back by like the next morning, so we didn't have another full day. And man, it was not happening. And I was like, just, I will pay for the truck. Just take your time. He worked through the entire night.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it was hard for me because I was pregnant and couldn't
help. I will say that I do have to schedule a U-Haul and all that kind of stuff, because you do want to get it done, right? Like once you move, like people, there are some people who are like, oh, let's take down picture frames one weekend. Let's take down, let's put away the books and pack the this and whatever. And people like to slowly move. And then there are those rapid movers. Me.
My husband.
Me. So like, depends on how you are as a mover too, kind of like, I know like the truck, when I moved to this house that I'm in now, I had rented a U-Haul and I had, oh, thanks Jada Countessa. Is that hyper independence? Maybe. Or maybe because I've, you know what, when, to Teresa's point, when someone wants to help, it could make all the difference. Mm-hmm. But you know what stress it is when that person who offered to help is not reliable or all of a sudden flakes out and now you don't know what to do. That actually happened to me like two moves ago where, you know, someone was like, oh, you can borrow my truck to move. And I'm like, okay, great. And I texted them a week before. I'm like, hey, I'm still good to move, you know, to use your truck to move. And he's like, oh, no, I lent it to, you know, my neighbor or something like that. I'm like, when were you going to tell me? Because I had to ask you. So now I'm scrummaging for, like, money to buy or to rent the U-Haul and then do all that. Yeah. So it's like, maybe it is hyper-independence. Maybe.
Well, yes and no. If somebody already offered, then you're assuming that the offer is still good to go. I don't think that's hyper-independence. I think what my husband did was hyper independence. Yeah. He's like, fuck that shit. I'm doing it myself.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that was one of his biggest regrets.
He was so mad. Honestly, mainly at his brother. But Champ, if you're watching, he was mad at you. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm like, he was not happy with his brother that day.
I think the worst thing about moving, though, is like, okay, you do all the packing, you do all the moving. It's the fucking unpacking.
See, I don't mind the unpacking.
Oh,
because
God.
For me,
I think half the time I never fully unpack. There's always some bin that stays packed until we move again.
I don't
like,
mind the unpacking because for me, that is my chance to organize.
I find myself throwing things away more when I unpack.
That part, because well, when I'm packing, I'm like,
here, or it's not the vibe. I didn't like it as much as I thought I would, and I just like start throwing things away. And I'm like, you know what? I threw half my shit away. This would have been a lot easier move had I did this before when I packed it.
Facts.
Yes, I throw more shit away before, so I'm like, I'm not gonna take this shit with me. Like, for
I
what?
I threw a lot of shit away before, but then at the same time, depending on the time frame, sometimes when I'm packing, I'm like, fuck it. I'll just think about this when I get over there. I'm just gonna throw everything in right now. We gotta go. Like, let's get her done.
So time frame, when we're moving, how soon do y'all start packing?
Okay, so now that I'm a big girl, if I move again, which I plan to, I want to start packing ahead of time. I want to kind of do what you were talking about, Bianca, like how people take a little bit at a time. Because there's so much shit in this house that I can tell you, we don't even touch half the time. So I'm like, I can at least pack that shit first, if I'm still keeping it. And then go from there. But I want to know at least a month ahead of time. So that if it's every day or maybe every weekend, I'm like packing a certain amount of shit so that I'm not feeling overwhelmed at the end.
I'm the exact opposite. I'll wait I'm not even the week before. I'm going to wait a couple days before and then I'll start going through my stuff. You'll never know what I'm moving until I'm in it the next day.
My Jada Countessa agreed with you. She said unpacking is not it. Mm-hmm.
It's not. I don't even want to see this shit. Leave it all in the bin. Just give me my furniture so I can lay the fuck down and take a nap. Because no.
See, but my whole thing is like, if I have that box sitting there, unpacked for a month, 2 months, 3 months, do I really need that shit? Because clearly I don't.
Right.
Throw the box away.
Maybe not.
She's on baby. Maybe not.
Depends. I might need it again in the future somewhere.
Oh, but Lord. Yeah, No, I like to unpack because I like to organize. But it's like a week later, everything's fucked up again. So what's the point?
I don't care for
how much stuff you have. Like, you know, if you've built, you know, your time and collected things over the years, like, sure, you're going to have a lot to pack and unpack and throw away and kind of sift through. Mm-hmm. To my point, what I said earlier is like, I've learned to live out of a suitcase, basically. Like, I don't have a lot of things. This right here, that's basically all I got aside from my bed and my dresser. I really don't have a lot of things. When I moved to this house and I had to rent a U-Haul, I had rented it for like 6 hours, right? Because I'm like, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to move. It's not a lot of stuff, but it's some stuff. Mm-hmm. And the person who was renting the U-Haul before me was running way behind schedule. And they were like, well, you only have an hour on this truck because your time frame was, let's say, from
motherfucker, that's not my fault. Right.
Exactly. Oh, I don't understand how to how to fight this, but it when I picked up the U-Haul, they're like, you still have to bring it back at your scheduled end time. And I'm like, that's an hour from now. And I have to, I was going from the east side of town to the far west side of town. That's already, you know,
the like hour right there.
To drive with me speeding. So we're like,
yeah.
Okay. How are we going to do this? And Nikita, she came to this new house because she wanted to see it. She's like, oh, what are we doing? I literally skirted the U-Haul on the street and she was already there. She was already here waiting at the house. She's like, what are we doing? I said, we're moving, unload everything. And we just threw everything out of the U-Haul because I'm like, I still have to return everything.
Oh my God.
I still have to return the truck and fill it up and do all that. So it was so hectic, but I'm like, oh, I'm not good with day of mishaps, but they seem to always find me. So that's why I'm like, I'm not stressing about now because whatever shit show is going to happen, it's going to happen day of.
Yeah. Comment on our YouTube. You don't need nothing if you don't got nothing.
That's right, baby.
Honestly, I think that's smart. Living minimalistically, I feel like is something I could do at some point. But I will say, like right now, just my craft items would probably need a small U-Haul themselves. So I'm like, yeah.
And then add the children on and all their shit.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole nother beast.
My toddler stuff is everywhere.
I think I've learned to be a minimalist because of the amount of times that I have moved. The goal eventually is to find a forever home to where maybe I am a hoarder. Maybe I want to know these things about myself if I give myself that chance to settle down somewhere. I was like, because putting that picture frame, like these picture frames up behind me and stuff, like buying these plants were a good indication of, wow, I'm really missing out on settling in a home and feeling comfortable. I never feel like I'm able to do that. And just providing these little things have given me that glimpse of shit. Maybe I do want to settle. How can I get this home? Because my entire 20s were me moving, you know, once a year, sometimes twice a year.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of moving and it gets tiring after a while.
Damn, twice a year? That sucks. After I move, I think every time I have moved, I have said, that's it. I'm never fucking moving again.
That part.
And then I move again.
Knowing damn well I don't want to be in that space either, but right. I say it every time.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever decided to move somewhere and then decided against it? Like changed your mind about moving?
No. I've never done that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I was supposed to move to San Antonio.
Oh, hey, yes, bitch.
Paid my deposit and everything and then backed out and lost my money and everything.
Had a job and everything.
Yep, I did it.
You know why?
Why?
Because of a guy.
Those goddamn boys.
You give him way too much fucking credit.
That was why your ass didn't move.
It wasn't 100% him. You gave him too much credit.
That's why you didn't move.
No. I had a child.
Yes, you did have a child. I had two.
I had a child with another human being, unfortunately. And the other human being's father was sick at the time. had just found out he was battling cancer. It was a lot going on at the time.
Yeah, there was a lot.
It was like, I can't take his son away from both of them. Like, it was just a lot. So, it was really my child. Once again, like I said, she's giving him too much fucking credit. But, yeah, it was a lot. So, yes, that has happened to me. And it was not a good feeling.
No, it wasn't. Especially not for me. Just kidding. real quick, Jada Contessa on our YouTube site, and my mind was changed for me. Mm. Sorry to hear that, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is it? Shisui Uchiha? Am I saying that right? We're going to go with that. I almost threw my life away for a girl. Ooh.
Those damn girls.
Oh, Jada Contessa said, was it more than 50%?
What?
I think the deposit, was it? Or
oh, no, the deposit. I lost the whole deposit. It was like, I think I paid, at the time, it was like $750 for the deposit. I lost the whole deposit.
Michelle on Instagram said, I always say I don't want to move ever again, but then I get the itch to move again.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, before I accepted the job that I have now, I had accepted a job in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had always said that I wanted to move out of Texas. I absolutely hate the fucking weather here. My dog hates it. I hate it. And
Teresa hates it.
Like, it was all the good reasons to move. It was all the good reasons to move. I had interviewed for a job. I had gotten the job offer and everything. And I was like, you know what? I had enough money to, like, get whatever little stuff that I had, get a U-Haul and just drive it and just find a place to stay there. Like, I didn't have a plan or a place to stay. I felt very confident in, I have a job and that's enough for me to go because I know I have money coming.
Oh, no, girl, you need a place to live.
So I'm like, that's enough for me. But then not even 24 hours later, I got the job offer for the job that I have now. And I'm like, this is the job that I actually wanted. And I stayed. But I was...
Do you regret it?
No, because I still love the job that I have.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in the cards for me to keep this kind of job in North Carolina or, you know, a place where I would want to go, then I would go there because then I would have best of both worlds.
Right.
I stayed for the job that I've always wanted and I still love. But if I can have this job over there, which most likely there is because what we do is all over the world.
Yeah.
I can easily go. So when I have that confidence, that wild hair up my ass to do it again, then maybe.
Jada Contessa say North Carolina. And she also clarified, was it more than 50% the guy's fault is what she meant.
No.
You're being nice.
You're being nice.
No.
Michelle said she regrets it. She'll regret it for you.
Oh, thank you. But you know what? Believe it or not, I've never been to North Carolina.
I hear it's beautiful.
I hear it's so goddamn beautiful. And I was like, you know what? I think... I was going to move. I had gotten a job in Raleigh and I was looking for a place in Greensboro, which is about like 15 minutes outside of Raleigh. So I'm like, it's not in the city, but it's right by it. Like kind of best of both worlds. You know how when you move to a city or that rural area, sometimes the outskirts are cheaper. So I was like, I have a plan in mind. And North Carolina just made sense because everything, all the surrounding states were like a 2-3 hour drive. I think like New York was a 4 hour drive. I'm like,
oh, that's nice.
Like going to Houston and I'm still getting that from part of Texas. So stupid.
It takes 13 hours to drive across Texas.
From
both
east to west.
Ways. And north. From both ways. Michelle said it's so beautiful. Michelle used to live in North Carolina too.
See, Michelle is gonna be like my East Coast like advisor,
tour guide, and then we'll get you on the West Coast.
Yeah, Shari's will get me on the West Coast.
You're set.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, with that said, ladies, we are actually at the top of the hour. Any closing remarks? We barely
missed the subject. That goddamn Mount Rushmore.
Goddamn Mount Rushmore. For those of you guys who missed it, this is what we're talking about. Right? And yes, that is Chris Brown on the far left there.
Epic.
Thanks for the clarification, team.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, we got new people joining. It's any last words that you guys would like to say about moving?
Don't do it.
We're not done yet.
No, we're not.
We're not done yet. Ask me in a year and I'll hopefully be moving again.
I know, right? Yeah. Hopefully it's not that soon. Give yourself a little time. Settle in somewhere. Make it home.
I'm trying.
My finishing words are just going to be good luck to Bianca on your new move.
When you'll see my background change a little, you'll know.
Just a little bit.
Because you're not going to see me start packing this room until the day before. So.
She's going to pack it during the show. So, guys, happened was.
We're going to have a packing party.
Yeah, and then we're going to go live the next week, and then you're going to see Teresa unpacking my stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, hey, guys. Welcome to episode 22.
Realistic goals.
Yeah. No, but seriously, good luck. I hope everything goes smoothly. You know, I know you're joking. So I don't know if you watched last week's episode, sorry, but Bianca and Nikita's defense mechanism is that they joke when they're really asking people for things so that it doesn't hurt their feelings. So technically she was joking about Gabe, but I don't think she was.
I'm not joking.
We'll talk to him after the show.
I don't know how to ask either. If you look back on last week's episode, I don't know how to ask.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play that portion of the show for him so he can see it. But again, good luck. We'll make sure to help you. You have a lot of volunteers from work that are willing to come and help you out. So you got a lot of love and all good things. It's going to be a great move. It's the beginning of some good vibes.
Yes.
Good vibes, great energy, and all the good things that you want.
Enjoy it. Living is amazing.
You only live once, right? You only live once. Living alone, enjoy it. Yes.
Yes.
For me.
And we'll touch this subject again once I settle in, maybe change my mind or maybe have something more to say.
Change my mind. Yes. Enjoy it for all of us. But if anyone is out there and they don't know where to find us, where can they find us, Bianca?
If you're not already, or if you know a coworker, friend, neighbor, or family that is not already, then they can like, follow, and subscribe us on our social media. That's Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at It's No Secret Podcast, and our TikTok at It's No Secret Podcast Live. And if you can't join us for our Wednesday night live stream, then you can always listen to us on Apple and Spotify on Sundays.
Yes, they can. Real quick, before we close out, Nikita is telling Gabe to start stretching and getting limber, and she has volunteered to carry your plants.
Since she helped me buy all of them, she can help me carry them all.
Exactly.
She's got to move her children.
Exactly. Oh, man.
All right, everybody. Until next time, remember, it's no secret.
Bye. Bye.